Hey everybody, Charlie Chitwood here. It's time for another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. Man, we're getting down towards the end of the semester. Basketball's over, track and field's going full bore, golf is going full bore, softball's coming close to the end. Let's see what's going on in all of those. Track and field was just down at a pair of relays in the heart of Texas at the Texas Relays in Austin at UT. And then just up the road in San Marcos at the Bobcat Relays. But joining us first, how about a member of the Lion men's track and field team? And he's the Dixie Turner State Farm at Student Athlete of the Week, one of two. We have two every week. But Jonas Grant, first off, congratulations on being tapped for the honor. And secondly, man, you got around everything fast down in Austin, didn't you?
Thank you. Yeah, it was a really nice competition.
How had you ever run? I guess you did last year, perhaps, when Lions were down at the Texas Relays. But had you ever run before a crowd that big anywhere else?
So I think the biggest one I had so far were Swiss Championships, in the like a big it's a big stadium in Zurich. That was probably the biggest crowd. But the stadium Austin is beautiful with the view of Austin. And the first day we had like really nice weather, so that was like a really nice place to compete.
That must have been Friday, because Saturday it was not very good weather.
Oh, actually it was Wednesday. I competed Wednesday, Thursday, and
Oh,
then
okay.
Friday, Saturday was like only the sprint open field events.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about how your event went. That was the heptathlon or pentathlon? Help me out.
Decathlon, kind of
Decathlon. And
decathlon, yes.
you finished fourth in that.
Yeah.
7,302 points. East Texas A&M, whether it was A&M Commerce or even East Texas State before that, we've always had some pretty good decathletes and heptathletes. Did you know about any of that? Did that play into any of your decision to choose Commerce?
So I know Florian Obst, he's also German. I know he was here before. He scored 8,000 points, so that was obviously like one other reason why I chose commerce. So
Well, how did your events go? Talk a little bit about the 2 days competition. Most people were talking about a 30 or a 2 minute event, and you got 2 days to do all
yeah.
yours.
So the first day went pretty good. Like overall, it was like a really solid day. Like all five events, I was pretty close to my PR, and that's basically what like every decathlete wants. You just want like solid events all like through both days, and just some peaks up or maybe a peak down. But day one was like I started off really good, close to my 100 PR. My long jump was close to my PR, and then same as shot put, high jump, and the 400. So I was like really happy with day one, and that just like motivates you even more for day two. And then day two started a little bit rough. Like we had a lot of rain in the morning. So hurdles and discus were a little bit like I lost a little bit points there. Especially on discus because I had two fouls, and then I had a little bit pressure to score on the last throw. But then pole vault was a solid score. And then the highlight was javelin. I threw 62.14 meters. That's a 2 meter PR for me, and I was really happy about that. And then it always ends with a 1500, either you like it or not. But then at the end, I'm really happy about the 7.3. So.
That's awesome. You're competing. It's not like our old Lone Star Conference days. You're going up against other competitors from Iowa. That's the University of Iowa, Oklahoma State. I imagine Texas was there, weren't they?
They had two guys entered, but they didn't compete. I don't know why, but yeah, they're like a big, some big schools, big names, but
Did you see, recognize anybody that you had competed against before, overseas or here in the States? This is your second year in commerce.
overseas, not, but there were some guys from our conference and then from our meets at TCU or A&M indoor. The two Oklahoma guys, I competed against them at TCU, our first outdoor meet this year. And then obviously the guys from the conference, I know from the first, like the conference indoor this year and the whole season last year. So.
You told me beforehand that your coaches in Europe, as you were growing up, were all just do everything, do whatever you want. And you kind of took that to the extreme to do an event that has 10 different disciplines. Which one, I mean, running, everybody at least runs a little bit, but picking up a pole vault or trying to go over a high jump bar, which of those field events, jumping events, kind of led you into doing all of them?
I think it's the pole vault, because like when I was younger, we just started with like running, long jump, high jump, like throwing weighted balls. But like I think as soon as I started pole vaulting, that was like the point where I know that everything is going towards the decathlon. Because the pole vault is a very hard event. It's like very, very technical, and it takes like a lot of time to actually be able to jump. Like, so I think that was the point where I knew, like, okay, I'm going towards the decathlon, and then it's just year by year, you just keep training, training, training. And then at one point, like, I'm here where I'm today, and I still love it. It's a lot of training. And those 2 days are really, really hard, like, but I still love it, so.
That's great. And then you got some of your teammates down there to help get you around the track or a little bit higher in the air, right? That's awesome stuff. So how do you like Commerce and North Central Texas, Northeast Texas? It's a little different from Switzerland.
It's very different, to be honest. Like, it's very flat, like no mountains, and Switzerland is like known for the mountains, so that's like for sure one thing I'm missing. But it's really nice just to like experience something different for a few years. Like, especially I told you earlier, the college system, we don't have that back home. So that's like for sure one thing like I'm really enjoying here, because it just helps me for my academic and for my sport, just to grow in both and be able to do both at the same time.
So the stuff that you really like doing off the field is in research. What kind of research are you working on?
Right now I'm not like working on a specific research. I'm just doing my bachelor in biological science, but it's all going towards like cancer or research about like bacteria and every stuff like that, antibiotics, and that's like for sure one thing I'm interested in. So,
Very cool. All right. What do you think about Texas barbecue?
oh, I love it.
That
It's great.
is the perfect and most
I've been
expected
out too
response.
many times to good places.
Getting a good smoked brisket's pretty, that's a pretty
Yeah.
good slice of meat. You'll have to stop in Jefferson sometime on the way through. We got it here, buddy. All right, Jonas. What's up next? Hey, I mean, the season's not over. Y'all are just really getting rolling in outdoor.
Yeah, some the multis that didn't compete last week, they traveled 7 minutes ago. I'm traveling tomorrow to College Station just for today's like my recovery week. Take a little bit easy. I'm throwing the jab and the shot at College Station. And I'll probably just train around those events on their track. And then I think we have 1 week off, then Rice, 1 week off Arkansas, and then conference right after. So
Very good. So you
everything.
never know. Sometimes that guy that's over there just throwing the javelin, he might be a decathlete in disguise. Is that how it works if you only choose to do one or two different events?
And it's weird because for us, it's like we warm up once and then we just have five events in a row. Maybe do some specific warm-ups in between, but when I only throw the jab, to be honest, I always feel a little bit like lost, because I don't know like what am I doing here, because it's just like one event and nothing else. But
Okay. Man, that's great stuff. Man, what a great window you've given us on what you're doing on behalf of Lion Athletics and yourself. and your
Thank you.
teammates. It's
Thank
great
you.
stuff, Jonas. We'll see you on campus soon, huh?
Yes.
All right. We're gonna
Perfect.
line up here. We
Thank
gotta
you.
take a break and get on some more Inside Lion Athletics. Jonas Grant,
Thank you for
great
having me.
job down
Thank
at the
you.
Texas Relays. It's good to visit with you.
Thanks.
Welcome back, everybody. More Inside Lion Athletics. We were just talking to Jonas Grant, one of our decathletes that did really well down at the Texas Relays. The guy that sent him there, and not more than a few other people, head coach George Pinnock. You had a busy week down there on I-35. Fortunately, just a short stretch of it.
It's short, but it's a very busy stretch. So depending on the time of day, we made some long trips back and forth between there.
I'm just thinking, do you have a personal record for one stadium to the other yet? You told me it's like the
Fastest or
11th
slowest?
time.
But I can. Here's a good one you might like.
Okay.
So the morning we took Jonas, I think it was that first. It would have been Wednesday morning. I think that morning it took me an almost an hour and 35, an hour and 40 minutes from San Marcos up to Austin. And I dropped him at the stadium and I watched his first event. All right, it was probably the second day. So this would have been Thursday morning. Watched his first event. And then I had to flip around and get down to the other stadium. So an hour and 35 up and about 35 minutes the other way. So like
Wow.
just complete opposites with the traffic.
Golly. That's just, well, at first everybody, I guess, was going to Austin,
Yeah.
and then they were still headed in the same direction after that. Oh, that traffic down there is crazy, isn't it? So how do we, you say this is one of the best trips down there ever for Lion Athletics. That's 11 years worth.
Yeah. Again, I think, the nature of Texas Relays and the way the schedule's set up, the first couple days, there's a lot that generally happens in the morning. Kind of before the noon, 1 p.m. And we've never really performed great. We've kind of, I wouldn't even say we've performed poorly, but we've always just kind of had some average morning performances there. But this year, I thought we performed really, really well. Our women's hurdlers hurdled well, our men in the 100-meter dash sprinted well. Our 4x1s, that's probably the closest we've been to qualifying. If you look at it, we were kind of just on the unlucky side of a bad heat draw. Running a time that was a top eight time, but not getting the final. So that's really good. Obviously, Jonas in the decathlon, personal best there is a great way to start the week. Shane West on the Thursday night, kind of getting things rolling with another school record. Just an overall really solid weekend at Texas Relays.
That's great. What was Shane? What was his event?
400 hurdles.
Okay, cool. Man, those guys can
Tough
go.
day. Tough one. Tough
That
one.
makes think back to Edwin Moses and
Yeah.
Rinaldo Nehemiah. That's a long time ago. So what about Bobcat relays? We
Yeah, no, there's really good stuff there too, a big mark out of one of our new guys, Jamel Ward, in the long jump, out over the 770. Saw some good high jump performances that, kind of creeping up that regional list. Saw some of our hurdlers do well there, some of our sprinters do well. Another good run out of miles. A little bit tougher conditions on the Friday and Saturday down in San Marcos, a little more rain down there. But again, just overall top to bottom, I thought everyone came out and competed at a really high level across both meets.
Well, Jonas wasn't the only track and field standout to be recognized this week, student athlete of the week on the women's side, and I'm going to try this.
Gotcha.
Sanae Hasnui.
I think that's right.
Wow. I'll
Oh,
collect my prize when I get there.
Again, one that slipped my mind.
Yeah. What was her event? How'd she do?
So, we typically haven't really run many athletes in the Friday night section. No, excuse me, Thursday night section of the distance carnival they have at Texas Relays. We've never got anyone in. This year we did. We had two people in the 1500.
Sané and Annette. Both ran really well, but it was a race that kind of got out and slowed down and kind of turned a little bit more strategic. Despite that, Sané still set the school record, but was kind of hungry for a bit more, and we hadn't planned on it, but we got her into the race the next day at Texas State, and she went for it and ran about 10 seconds faster and broke her own school record. So, really good stuff for, her first time kind of on the track in that main event this year.
That's pretty impressive stuff. How did she place? I mean, was her personal record good enough to medal or
Yeah, so she ended up being, I think, second, first or second at Texas Relays. I wasn't first. I think it was second. Kind of came down to a sit and kick race. And then same thing at Texas Relays, or Texas State, excuse me, was second to the young lady from Corpus Christi, who's multiple time conference champion, and they kind of ran it down to the line.
Oh, that'll be fun. I was trying to reel in that one ahead of you, right? Hey, tell us a little bit about well, I lost that one. Never mind. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So you're talking about a tactical race versus just a pure speed race would be my guess at the other choice. How long into a 1500 do you figure out that it's one style or the other?
You know right away.
Okay.
If the race goes out and probably the first, it might go out looking really good. Then if it's going to turn into a sit and kick race at about 200 or 300 meters, you just see that field just come right back together, and everyone's looks like they're jogging for the next lap and a half, and then all of a sudden they're sprinting again. So you know right away.
Okay.
And so in the race, though, sometimes you get in that pack and you feel comfortable, and don't realize how much you've slowed down. Sometimes you do, and you try to be honest and kind of go by yourself. Every race is a little different, but you know when you get in that race.
God, man, I hated it when it had to be anything more than one lap. I think
I'm
I pulled a
with you.
hammy.
I'm with you on that.
All right, good stuff. All right, coach, what's coming up next?
Yeah, we head down to College Station, big invitational, the 44 Farms Invitational. Get some action going tomorrow with a few decathletes and heptathletes. And then the majority of the group join on Friday and Saturday for what should be a really good meet.
And like pretty much any other meet down here in the South, we're almost always going to see somebody from the Southland Conference, right?
Yeah, so I think we'll see some athletes from Lamar, Incarnate Word, Corpus Christi. Probably your South Texas Southland schools will be there. SFA will probably have a handful of kids there as well. But
Okay.
yeah, we'll see them and we'll race them.
Hey, at these early outdoor meets, it's kind of when your rivalries with your conference opponents kind of build up a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the coach that I'll race anyone anytime, but I also don't want to race anyone anytime. You kind of get tired of seeing them every weekend and having them, but it's good, and we're fortunate that we have a schedule that allows us to go to some of the best track meets in the nation. As local as this is, it's still a really big meet. You have Notre Dame coming down, you have Harvard coming in, USC was there last year, so there's enough other schools to kind of take your focus off of that conference competition and kind of keep you focused on the bigger picture until it's conference championship.
I remember some of those, of course, at a much lower level, but you see people over 2 months of outdoor season, and then you got to run against them for all the marbles. And it's kind of fun stuff. What else is going on in the wonderful world of track and field?
I mean, we just, again, this week, and we'll have a week off. So I think some of us are, really, really, really geared up for this weekend to kind of put a great effort in, and then come back and get a little rest, recovery, and retool for kind of the transition to the championship segment of our season as we prepare for Southland Conference and West Regionals.
Okay, good enough. Hey, Jonas did a great job. We had him on right before you. It was great visiting with him and learning about his viewpoints
He's a smart guy.
on life. Yeah, good stuff. And obviously talented. So, all right, Georgie, we're going to let you go here. Lions up. That's what we know from track and field, and they're still going strong. We'll take a break here on Inside Lion Athletics and be back after this. Hey, folks, welcome back. More Inside Lion Athletics. We get from the thin clads over to the softball diamond. Head coach Brittany Miller's here to talk to us about A&M Commerce softball. Lions, tough trip down on the road to Thibodeau, but coach, you still got a little bright spot shining all over that roster of yours. Tell us a little bit about the trip, but then we're going to start getting to some highlights.
Yeah, I mean, it was rough. Obviously, we want to come out with wins, but we're still having small wins, even though it's not coming up on the scoreboard, which is still exciting. And, you know, it's all part of the process and part of the journey that we're on. So, you know, we got some of them swinging the bat better than they have been recently. So we're excited about that. Pitching keeps having some really good innings, and it's just that one inning that kind of keeps catching us. So I'm really focusing on that this week as, you know, we've been preparing for SFA. But all in all, I mean, we got to keep learning, we got to keep working, and we got to keep growing. So that's what we're going to continue to do.
Coach, you said SFA was somebody that's gettable. What gives you the confidence, and how do we get them?
I think we've had plenty of time this week to be able to reset. We were able to have a full week of practice, and, you know, our outfield keeps doing well and going, catching the ball, throwing people out. We're communicating well with our infield right now. Pitchers were able to throw live a little bit this week. And if we stick to our game plan, then, you know, we'll be okay. Eliminate the walks, keep the ball in the park, and ultimately we just got to score some runs. So, SFA, they come, they swing, they're scrappy. They're gonna come out ready to compete. So we just gotta come out, compete, and be ready to go.
Coach, you mentioned your outfield in that bit, and that's been one of your strong suits defensively this year. There's more to talk about besides just them, and we will. But KK Kosick in right, Emma Rodriguez in center, and Bella Arzola in left. A, they don't waste time getting to a ball, and B, they usually get it into the right spot for a relay or even a throw on down to home.
Oh yes, they. I mean, their speed has been tremendous out there. They're being able to run down balls, catch things that, you know, maybe don't seem catchable at the start, but they're tracking the ball well. They throw people out. They're hitting our cuts. They're doing a really good job for us out there. And, you know, it helps when they're upperclassmen and they've kind of been there and they know what they need to be doing, what they should be doing. So it's been a real good bright spot for us for sure.
All three of those have had opportunities to throw to home, and it doesn't matter whether it's Montemayor or Gracie Alejo behind the dish. That's a brick wall a lot of times.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We've had a couple at the plate. We've thrown some people out at third. It's been a good job from them to our catchers, so it's been good.
Hey, Gracie, we got to talk a little bit about her. And Montemayor just doesn't have the volume of numbers. But Gracie not only tops in the Southland Conference for runners thrown out attempting to steal, but she's number one in the nation, coach.
She's doing a good job. People aren't going to run, you know. She gets that first one if they try, and, you know, she's not afraid to pick somebody off. She's not afraid to throw the ball around. So that's a real bright spot for us. And, you know, we don't miss a beat when Haley's back there either, because she's doing the same thing. And so it's exciting for us. Just they can control the pitchers, but they also can control the run game, which eliminates a lot for us within our conference. So that's good.
They get a lot of opportunity to go chat with their pitching battery mate. Coach, when a catcher just calls timeout on her own to go try and settle a pitcher down, you having been a pitcher, I imagine that in your case, they were all coming up to be settled down by you. However, how's it going when the catcher's got to go out and settle down a catcher? I mean, a pitcher.
They're good. I think sometimes you just need a change of pace. Sometimes you just need a little bit of a reminder. So, our catchers are really good at being able to read the pitcher that's out there and what they need. Sometimes it's just let's take a deep breath and let's get back to the basics and feed our defense or whatever it might be. Sometimes it's a timeout for the umpires for us to just reset. So regardless, they come out there and either give an instruction, criticism, or something that just make them loosen up a little bit.
And we noticed in the last few games, or at least we brought it up, it's when there's a conference in the circle just between the catcher and pitcher, usually the left side of the infield decides to have one, the right side of the infield has one, and the outfielders will either do it by a conference call or they'll finally merge in center field. Just all opportunities to visit more about the game with your teammates.
Oh yes, they're able to talk through what the situation is, what they need to be doing, or if they have to rehash what just happened, if something just happened and they need to clean up a communication. So everybody's talking, everybody's communicating, and everybody's getting information to get better and stay on the same page.
All right, you don't quite have the opportunity to gather in groups like that when you got a bat in your hands, but
Yeah.
you got a couple of players, Aaliyah Wilcox over at third, and then Tatum Wright at first. Tatum's just been mashing the ball. How many home runs has she hit in the last 3 weeks? Five?
I think
Six?
so. She's seeing the ball really well right now. She's hitting the ball hard even when she gets out. Her outs are hard. So, she's doing a really good job. Love it. Aaliyah is seeing the ball well, finally finding some holes and she had a really good weekend last weekend, looking to roll into this weekend. Hopefully having the same success. So, keep moving forward and hopefully a couple more can get on track this week and be ready to go come Friday.
All right, there are three opportunities left to see. No, make it four, I think. Maybe three. Three opportunities. No, four with the SFA. Got SFA this weekend. Next week, we're going to play UIW early, home for Houston Christian. And then the following week, you've got UTA still on Tuesday. And then the home finale the following week, or the weekend with McNeese. So a lot of time to shine in front of the home folks.
Oh, yes, it'll be good.
All right, Coach. Hey, thanks for all your time today. Good luck this weekend. Sorry we can't be there, but I got to do other stuff on occasion. But I'll be back.
Awesome. Thank you.
Let's line up here, folks. Brittany Miller, head coach of Lions Softball. We'll see you down at the Diamond, Coach, next time.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Chitwood here. We'll keep moving on in Lion Athletics, inside Lion Athletics. And it's all outdoor sports now. That includes golf. It's not just a leisurely walk in the park, though, for some. And head coach Brian Dalhide's here to tell us how things are going in the Lion Golf program. Getting close to tournament time again.
Right.
How'd everything go this last weekend? The guys, were the guys at ULM or was
No,
it
that
the women?
was the ladies. The ladies were out at ULM. I think we had a couple of good rounds out there individually. We just weren't really able to put it all together as a team. Struggled a bit on the greens. So yeah, we've been definitely putting in some work on the putting and chipping side, and looking forward to this next week at Kissing Tree down in San Marcos.
All right. So that is a course y'all are familiar with and familiar with how many times? I mean, is that where the conference tournament's been for what, 4 years that we've been involved?
No, just this last year.
Okay.
Last year and this year will be the second year out there. So we had a good showing last year and looking to do the same, maybe a little bit more this year.
All right. Well, I know that Marie B, as y'all like to call her, Marie Barrett's, she's been one of our golfers or student athletes of the week. Your freshman, Linnea Olson, has tapped an honor. That's a veteran and a fish. And then how's the rest of the team fitting in between them?
Rest of the team's doing just fine. I think we need to again work a little more on the putting green and chipping a little bit. Our short game hasn't been as great as we'd hope. So, just trying to fine-tune a couple of things and get it dialed in for this next week.
Okay. Coach, I know Marie's one of your leaders, on the field, on the course, and off. But a leader in a golf team is a little bit different than a captain on the football team or basketball or even a softball diamond. How do you, what's your model of leadership within a locker room?
Yeah, I mean, it's always different depending on the player, but typically it'll be leading by example, in the classroom, on the golf course, how they handle even their social life. I think she's done very great for all the other ladies, and she's a great example for everybody to look up towards in all aspects, I'd say.
What makes her so smooth? What consistent? Is it just the experience and the maturity of how many years of college golf? This is Marie's, what, third, fourth year?
This is her third year. I would say that, and also just having a pretty impressive demeanor on and off the course. She'll never get too high or too low throughout a round, and I think that's extremely important when leading younger ladies like these freshmen and the younger ones.
Coach, how, when the team's out on, is it all four of them playing together or five playing together, or is everybody set up in their own pairings?
No, they're all set up in their own pairings with different teams. So we don't play together. Typically, they'll see each other once or twice on the golf course just from slower play. But
Yeah.
outside of that, they don't see each other until the end of the day.
Okay. Man, every woman an island, right? That's
What
how it
was
is.
that?
Every woman an island. Tell us a little about the guys now. How they're getting set up. They've got this week off, I think, but they'll be spending next week getting ready for their own version of the Southland Conference Championships.
Yeah, they're working pretty hard and just getting everything fine-tuned, and just like the ladies, trying to get everything dialed in for this next week. So yeah, this next course, it's a little bit more open than we've seen in the past. We've played Comanche the last couple of years, so the guys are pretty used to it. The only one who hasn't played it is Davis, so looking forward to that week as well.
Hey, I'm glad you brought up Davis Siebert. He's you talk about he's been mastering a number of courses in his 1 year with the Lions. Tell us a little bit about his game and how did he even end up here?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a great asset for our team, obviously, just looking at the scores, but also just as a person for all the other guys. He started college golf at Midland, the junior college down in Midland, and then transferred to Wyoming, graduated from there, and decided to come down here for his fifth season, come back to Texas, and clearly tear it up the way he has. So
Tell
it's
you what, Midland, Wyoming, and then Commerce, he must like the wind.
it's there's been a lot for him, that's for sure.
All right, you brought up a golf stat that I didn't even know existed, and it's just because I don't spend quite as much time in the game. But Davis is, he has a record, and it's not just of how he did in the tournament. It's about how many guys he's finished ahead of, or how many have finished behind him, or how many he's been tied with. And his record is 569 wins. So he's finished ahead of 569 competitors. Been beaten by only 64, and then he's tied with 27. That's a pretty big number in golf, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, that's for sure. looking to make that gap a little bit bigger in the next week. But yeah, it's been really impressive to be a part of, and really happy for him and the season he's had. Looking to keep it going.
Yeah, now I heard there's a small secret that's not too small anymore, but Southland Conference Men's Golfer of the Month.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Hey,
me.
you broke the news to him with a text. Have you gotten a response yet?
I don't think he's seen it yet, so
Oh, okay.
maybe you'll be breaking the news to him here soon.
Maybe we'll catch him in a minute. So the guys, obviously, that's one of their metrics. So they probably keep an eye on that fresh at the end of every tournament. How does that work in the mind of a golfer these days? Because I've always thought, and a lot of people, it's just about you and the ball. But in a competition, now you've got something that keeps up. Just be better than him. You don't have to be better than par even.
Yeah, I
Although
mean,
that helps.
it all depends on the golf course. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, Davis has played every tournament this year under par besides one, and that one was two over par. So, he's had a pretty phenomenal year, and I think, it's nice to look back at, but it's always moving on to the next one. Looking at the past doesn't really help too much when you're about to prepare for another tournament. So
Yeah, it's
I'm
like that next shot. You need to forget the last one, good or bad.
exactly. Yeah, I all the guys are they're aware of where they stand throughout the year, but we still got one more,
Yeah.
and then potentially more after that.
There you go. All right, that sounds good to me, Coach. Let's see, what else we got going on? Oh, we wanted to bring up a besides Mr. Siebert, Janice Earl, how's his game been going? He's showed up as one of the student athletes of the week.
Yeah, Giannis, he had a great fall. Hasn't played up to where he was in the fall yet this spring. Still got one more opportunity to get there, but yeah, really just working on his game. And same with Cooper, Matt Walters, Nike. Everybody's just trying to fine-tune what they have and work on what they've been struggling with just
Okay.
to come
All right.
together.
Well, the way they get to work on what they're struggling with, talk about the different tools they have besides repetition to help correct those things. I mean, how much video do golfers watch of themselves these days?
It all depends on the person. A lot of guys and girls are more technical, and a lot of them aren't. It all just depends, but each player on the team has a statistics program. We use Decade Golf. You plug every single shot that you hit in your last tournament into there, and it spits out some numbers where, hey, my driver wasn't too great this week. Let's go work on that. My chipping was phenomenal. Let's keep dialing that in. Putting was okay. It could be better. So I really think that's been very helpful for us. We're able to look at where we've struggled, where we've excelled on both sides, and able to really dial that in the weeks between tournaments.
How long has that kind of technology and I won't call it a coaching thing because it's just, pigeonholing their performances, right?
Yeah, it's been around for a while. I would guess probably 10 years or so.
Okay.
But this is our first year using it. So, yeah, I think it's been extremely helpful for both sides, and it's very informative, and I'm definitely looking forward to using that in the upcoming years as well.
Do not put it on my game, okay? Just don't. I mean, because it's going to come up with sell your clubs. That's
Hey, I'm right there with you some days, so.
all All right, man. Brian Dolheid, head coach of Lion Golf. We got to let him go because we've got Davis Siebert coming up next, and he's going to talk a little bit more about Lions golf on Inside Lion Athletics. Lions up, coach. Thanks for giving us your time today, and go back to work. I know it's at the golf course, so
Yeah, that sounds good. No
awesome
problem.
stuff. Thank you so much for your time. Hey folks, we're back. Just one episode, not episode, but one segment of this week's Inside Lion Athletics left. You've already heard us talking a little bit about this, Brian Dolheid and I, but Davis Siebert, part of the Lion men's golf team. And if you heard the earlier segment, you know he's at the top of the Lions golf team as far as performances this year. And Davis, can you give us a drum roll? He was just named the Southland Conference Golf Male Golfer of the Month. How do you beat that? I guess you got to win it all for the year, but
Yes,
that's
sir.
pretty
Yes,
cool,
sir.
Dave.
Thank you very much. It's very means a lot. It's been, long season. We've been grinding a lot, and to be able to get an award like that, that's really, really cool.
Man, I bet your dad can't wait to tell everybody back at Salome Country Club.
No doubt about that. Yes, sir.
Awesome. I've joked with your coach, and you know it well too. If you grew up in Midland, Texas, playing golf, you learned how to play in the wind.
Yes, sir. Yes,
At
sir.
Wyoming, you probably played in the wind,
Yes,
and
sir.
you get the same in Northeast Texas as well. What are the secrets to playing in the wind and playing well?
The thing about the wind in particular is you can't fight it. People always try and muscle it through the wind, and even if they're taking extra club, just hitting it to the sky. You can't fight it. You just gotta you got you have to let the wind do what it wants to, and kind of just gently play it through it. And I think that's one thing that's helped me throughout my career is a lot of the time we're playing in wind. It's an outdoor sport. We're playing, it might not be as much wind as West Texas, but a little bit of wind, you'd be surprised how many people start kind of hitting poor shots. And I feel like that's kind of how I've been able to be pretty successful is, the winds of West Texas are pretty intense.
Indeed. We talked about those. And I asked you earlier too about what you felt was the strength of your game. And you said it's your short game. Everybody works so hard on their short game and they go, oh man, I love to hit the long ball first.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The driving and the iron play, when it's good, it's good, and it's definitely a weapon. And obviously, Rory McIlroy has made a career off hitting the driver and the long irons. But when those things, it's such a long swing, and we're talking about centimeters being off is the difference between being in a house and being in the middle of the fairway. So being able to be consistent with the shorter clubs and being able to turn a bad round into a not so bad round and a good round into a great round. I mean, it's a the short game's a really big part of it, and that's really how I've been able to, maintain some consistency throughout the year.
And that short game is subject less to the wind than
Yes.
somebody that's making that big swing, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So talk about this season. You've I mean, five top tens, and you haven't finished out of the top 20 in any of the tournaments. You're having a pretty good year.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a good year, and I gotta credit my teammates and my coaches, to be honest with you, because this is my first year here. I was kind of a 1 year like rental and being a grad student, and being at a new place is tough. You take for granted so many different things at previous like places. I didn't know where the cafeteria was when I got on campus and things like that. So you kind of have to like learn how to do everything all over again. And like from day one, they really took me under their wing and, like showed that we were like a family, and kind of made my off the course life so easy, where I could really focus on the course. And yeah, on the course, it's been good too. I've been able to, really stay consistent and stay like in the present. Last year, my last year at Wyoming, I didn't know I was going to get a fifth year, and I really kind of felt like I was putting so much pressure on every shot. Like, I gotta play good. It's my last year. And this year it's kind of like, I've already gone through that. Let's just have fun. Like
good or bad, who really cares? We're gonna go out there and have a good time. And golf's such a mentally taxing sport. So when you go in with a positive mind frame, you've already won a lot of the battle. And I've been able to post some pretty good numbers and help my team out, and that's the most important thing right there.
I know that you can probably put a pin on any number of really good shots you've hit over the course of the year, but is there any one tournament so far this golf season that has stood out for you?
Yeah, that's another good question. I think it's the first tournament in South Carolina because I was coming off, it's my first the last college golf tournament I played before South Carolina was we were in Missouri around this time last year, and I shot 41 over. I finished second to dead last, so I didn't really know how I was gonna feel. I didn't know what it was gonna be like, and I played a decent first round, decent second round, and a really really good final round. And to be honest, I don't know if the rest of the year would have gone that way if I didn't build that early moment. Golf's a big momentum game. And that tournament was really, really important. I got some confidence. I got some like good vibes going early. And from there I was just kind of able to build on that. So, the first tournament might not have been my best tournament. It is definitely the most important I played, I think.
Very cool.
Yes,
All
sir.
right. You talked about your teammates, and golf is such a mental game. Y'all don't get to travel in a pack around the course together except when you're practicing. How do y'all support each other over the course of a tournament when you either may be on the track or not, or you might be close to them on the course or not?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you do see each other a little bit, and that's like kind of, in those 10, 15 second interactions that you have, that can go a long way. Like, hey, let's keep going. Like, I know it's not going, but let's keep fighting. And that's been big for me. I remember me and Giannis were standing on the tee box together, maybe six holes into the tournament at Bentwater. And we were both seven or eight. We were both in dead last. We were like eight over through six. And we were just standing on the tee there together. And we were both like, hey, we're good. Like, we're good. We were pumping each other up a little bit. And, from there, we both played pretty solid coming in. So, it's those little 15 to 20 second interactions that you have that, I got some guys rooting for me, and I got some guys that are relying on me that where I need to, try to get this in the house in as few strokes as possible.
Okay, outstanding. All right, you talked about keeping your teammates loose. It's also a game that you can't get in there. A rah-rah speech
Yes,
probably
sir.
just jacks you up the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
How do you guys keep it loose?
I think I've been blessed to have, a great group of guys this year. My whole career I've had a great group of guys, but this year, it's cool because everyone doesn't take it too seriously. And in golf, that is a bad thing, where you live and die by every shot. And so, just like it before tournaments, like it's normally everyone's a nervous wreck and we're just laughing, having a good time, joking around, being real loose. On the range, no one's really talking, and we're over there being loud and just having a good old time. So, and we have so many like cool memories and fun moments that just I'll see someone walking down the fairway, one of the guys, and they just bring a smile to my face. They'll do or say something that's just like, oh, it's hard to be tense when you got those kinds of guys around you. Just fun guys that like just enjoy life and are just great to be around.
Cool. All right. So when y'all are all together and it's a rainy day and you can't even, and the machine's broken, you can't even hit into a screen. So it's a movie day. It's got to be a golf movie. So here's a few movies, and then you've got one more to add on. But where do these stack up? Caddyshack, of course. The Legend of Bagger Vance, and then Tin Cup. And then, as a wild card, throw in Happy Gilmore.
Okay.
All right. How many have y'all seen those movies?
So I think most of them have for sure seen Caddyshack. They've all seen Happy Gilmore. I don't know about Legend of Bagger Vance. That's kind of a deep cut. I actually don't know if they've seen that. And if they haven't, they need to. But none of them have seen Tin Cup, which is very shocking to me. Because I quote 10 cup all the time, you know. Oh, I hit the 7 iron like daily. It's a three. And, you know,
I love it.
and they just laugh along, you know, like, oh, this. And they, and a few months ago, I'm like, oh, we should watch 10 cup. And they're like, well, we've never seen it. And I'm like, you guys have just been laughing at me like I'm some sort of idiot. You know, I'm saying all these outrageous lines from the movie and they just have no idea. So I think I got rainy day, we gotta watch 10 Cup. That movie is an absolute classic. And I love the story, you know, just the West Texas driving range pro goes out, he's competing in the US Open. I
Oh,
just,
that's a great underdog story.
you know, it is. And I love the ending, you know, it's not a classic, you know, he doesn't get the job done, you know,
No.
but he finishes it on his own terms, and I always really like that.
Do you think there'll ever be a sequel? They better hurry.
If yeah, no doubt, Kevin Costner's not getting any younger. You know, I kind of think it finished perfect. I don't, you know, some movies don't need a sequel. I think that movie's perfect.
Excellent. I
You
love
know.
that. All right. Now, there's one movie that you brought up earlier that's not on that list, and I wasn't even aware of it, but I love it. Greatest Game?
Greatest game ever played. Yes, sir. It's
Yeah.
an absolute
What's
classic.
that one about?
So Shia LaBeouf plays him. It's about Francis We Met. He was the first amateur to ever win the US Open. 1912, I believe, is when it was.
He was a
And
Fort Worth guy, wasn't he?
he Boston guy.
Oh, okay. All right.
And this is back when golf was a game for, you know, gentlemen. It was for the rich and high class, and it was a super, you know, it wasn't a game for everyone like it is now.
Right.
And you know, his dad was a coal miner or something like that, and like a super poor guy, and he caddied out at a golf course called the Country Club in Brookline. You know, he winds up qualifying in and plays 4 rounds, is tied for the lead, and goes into an 18-hole like playoff with Harry Vardon, who at that time was the greatest golfer who ever lived,
Yeah,
five-time champion.
this is before Bobby Jones, if
Yes,
anybody's
sir.
looking for a touchstone in golf history.
Yes, sir. And it was just a super incredible story, and it kind of touched because Harry Vardon didn't come from wealth either, so it was kind of like a cool, you know, Harry Vardon, and was supposed to be like the villain in that movie, but it comes off like he's kind of he was in Francis's shoes back in the day. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, and if you haven't seen it, I'd really recommend it.
Gonna have to watch for that one.
Yes,
Hey,
sir.
we're gonna have to watch and watch you play. What's coming up for you guys? I think y'all are just practicing next week, but then
Yes,
it's
sir.
off to the Southland tournament.
Yes, sir. Big tournament. It's the one we train for. The Southland. It's the big one of the year, and I'm really, really excited. I think all of us are peaking at the right time, and you know, I mean, you know, win or not, you know, it's my last guaranteed college golf tournament ever. So I'm really, really excited, and you know, not making it too much more than it has to be, and one more opportunity to compete with these guys, and I'm really, really excited.
All right, man. Hey, that's great stuff. I have enjoyed this visit so much
Yes,
because
sir.
we
Me as
covered a
well.
lot of ground.
Yes,
But hey,
sir.
you gotta go call your folks. So, let
Yes,
them know
sir.
you won that major award.
Yes,
Tell your
sir.
dad to watch out for the big box Mark Fragile.
No doubt. He's gonna love it going into work tomorrow. He's gonna be showing everyone. It's gonna be awesome.
All right, man. Hey, we're gonna line up here.
Sir.
And bid it all adieu. Folks, thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Inside Lion Athletics. We got more to go. We'll do it again next week. Keep it right here, and we'll see what's going on. Go Lions.